This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. New information has come out from the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability. One day before the first hearing into the House's planned President Joseph Biden impeachment inquiry. Representative James Comer reported that President Biden's home in Wilmington, Delaware, was listed as the beneficiary address for two bank money wires, payments totaling $260,000 to his son Hunter from Chinese nationals. One of the Chinese nationals is reported as Jonathan Lee, who developed a business relationship with Hunter while Joe was vice president. The committee said both wires originated from Beijing and were delivered to the Biden home after Joe announced he was running for president. India made history last month as the first country to land near the moon's south pole, but several days after they were set to wake up, the Chandrayaan-3 moon lander and its sidekick lunar rover are not responding. The robots went to sleep in early September when night set in on the moon and their batteries drained. The next lunar day started on September 22nd and are not responding to commands and may be dead for good. The Speaker of Canada's House of Commons resigned yesterday over inviting a Nazi-linked war veteran to Ukrainian President Zelensky's speech last week. Anthony Rota, a liberal lawmaker who was first elected Speaker in 2019, initially declined to step down over the controversy, but eventually bowed to pressure from members of Parliament, including his own Liberal Party. A raging fire, seemingly caused by fireworks at a wedding, engulfed a hall with guests in northern Iraq today. Authorities are reporting more than 100 people are confirmed dead and roughly 150 others injured. The fire happened in an area just outside of the city of Mosul, some 205 miles northwest of Baghdad. Thanks for listening. It's well appreciated. We are USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
A Manhattan judge yesterday said he found presidential candidate Donald Trump committed fraud by exaggerating the value of his wealth and canceled the former president's New York business licenses. Trump replied, quote, "The widespread radical attack against me, my family, and my supporters have now devolved to new un-American depths," end quote. House Republicans voted to advance four appropriations bills to the chamber's floor last night, but Speaker Kevin McCarthy may have problems securing the votes needed to avert a government shutdown at the end of Saturday. A handful of Republican House members want more cuts to be made in the stopgap bill. Meanwhile, leaders in the United States Senate say a deal has been reached between Republicans and Democrats that would keep the government open for six additional weeks. It would also include approximately $6 billion in short-term funding for Ukraine as it fends off Russia's invasion. But should the deal pass the Senate, it would likely face the same problems in the House. President Biden became the first sitting president to join striking union members yesterday. Biden joined striking UAW auto workers in Detroit. The pro-union appearance showed solidarity with thousands of automakers who have been leading a strike of Detroit's three biggest automakers. The Sphere in Las Vegas is set to make its debut Friday when rock band U2 takes the stage for the first concert inside the iconic Las Vegas venue. Lance Pry, USA News.
If you're 65 or older, and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, good afternoon. Great to have you with us. I'm Bill Martinez. And I tell you, you know, the majority of America says we're on the wrong track. I say, great observation. Now, what are we going to do about it, right? The question that comes up, well, how did we get here? And why are we in such conflict with our Constitution? Has this been done by accident or has this been purposefully delivered to us? And meanwhile, we're just so overwhelmed by all the chaos that's going on. We can't even pause for a moment to say, look, let's fix the problem. Let's do something about it. Well, on September the 17th, okay, we celebrated Constitution Day, or we should have anyway, as we've been saying on this show and even in our morning broadcast. Our radio show is that we encourage our listeners and our viewers to reassociate themselves with the U.S. Constitution. What a brilliant document. That and the Declaration of Independence. Great time to sit down, read it, and probably have the light bulbs go on because you're going to go, wow, our founding fathers gave us this incredible document for us to follow that it really sets up an infrastructure that is designed in such a way to produce results that yield freedom and liberty for us. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's how great this document is. 247 years, the longest standing document, I think, in modern history that has been able to withstand. That's how successful, how powerful it is. But yet there are these antithetical forces that keep chipping away at it and question whether or not that's what our Constitution said. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, it's like it's basically like our birth certificate. And I want to bring our guest on, Daniel Natel. Daniel and I have known each other for a number of years. I've just so appreciated his academia, his research and his intellect. He's a business ethics teacher, news analyst, and commentator. And Daniel Natel joins us now. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bill.
Hey, Daniel, you know, I look at the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence as being, you know, our birth certificate. I mean, would I question your birth certificate?
You would if I was Barack Obama. yeah, it's funny that this topic is kind of trenchant right now because I'm working on a book right now regarding kind of the legal subversion of the Constitution, and not just the Constitution, but our whole legal system via what's now being called critical race theory, or the earlier iteration of it called critical theory. And the whole premise of it was, how do you subvert a nation without an overt revolution? And their solution to that was, let's go to the legal system and let's have them reinterpret what words mean. You know, let's have them reinterpret, like, for instance, in our original kind of jurisprudence, you know, kind of history, our legacy, it was the concept that equality before the law, right? But they had a legal scholar named Derek Bell in the 1970s, 1973, in fact, and he published this book in, you know, at Harvard Law School, where he basically says, no, we shouldn't have equality before the law. We should interpret it as the law as a tool of social engineering, where we put a thumb on the scale so that it doesn't just work for the majority, but that it works for a minority. And basically it was that minority is not racial minorities or gender minorities. It's really an oligarchical minority. You shift the whole way that the system runs. So.
That's people bought into that.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look in the history of it, it looks like it may be like large portions of it were funded by the Central Intelligence Agency. One of the guys who first conceptualized before Derek Bell was like in the 60s and 70s, mm-hmm. and before him, back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, was a guy named Herbert Marcuse from the Frankfurt School, and he was part of something called the Institute for Marxism in Frankfurt, Germany. And he
that shouldn't be a warning.
Yeah, it's exactly right. So it's like, how do you change the DNA of a society, right? And so there's a book called Thinking in Systems by Donella Meadows, and she's a bad guy. She's part of Club of Rome and everything. She's passed on, unfortunately, but she wrote in her book Thinking in Systems that the education system, academia is the DNA of the society, because like DNA, you're passing on information generationally.
Exactly.
You know? It's the genetic code. So if they can change the syllabus, they can change the genetic code of the society. You know, so a lot of the operating, the assumptions that you have in a society are subverted if you change kind of the legal structures, the academic structures. And so that's what they set out to do. Probably very soon after the Kennedy assassination, if you look at the timeline, 64, 65, the Ford Foundation with grants from the CIA, about 70% of the grants were funded by the Central Intelligence Agency to do kind of what's now called lawfare, where you take over legal structures, the law schools, you reinterpret how the Constitution is, you know, you're hearing just recently in the news that governor who said, oh, well, the Bill of Rights, you know, is not absolute. You know, these are new kind of formulations that they're rolling out, trying to get into the public consciousness, you know.
Well, she got slammed down pretty quick. You know, unfortunately, it didn't take long. But this is the challenge with some of these attacks on our liberties and our Constitution. Some cases, like what we experienced with COVID, it took a couple of years. And I think we're still kind of, you know, recoiling from the effects of the infringement that, you know, these federal officials took upon us. I want to unpack a little bit more about the CIA's involvement. But before that, I mean, if you go back into the history of public education at the turn of the century with Dewey and that, they realized it was going to be a slow but progressive walk through the institutions. But to your point, they knew that education was absolutely key. And it's just been one progressive step after another. And then you reach a benchmark in the mid-60s, and you see the CIA shenanigans, which if you look at the history of the CIA during that period of time, their involvement in Vietnam, all the drug running they were doing and got away with that we can't talk about. You know, I mean, the CIA in and of itself is probably one of the most subversive forces within our government.
Yeah, well, I mean, just to go back to Dewey, right? So at the turn of the century, there's a great book by Alex Newman. And Alex Newman had me do the audiobook for his book, Crimes of the Educators. And he goes through like the history of this. And he talks about like Edward Thorndike in 1919 says, you know, the children should not be educated. They should be trained like animals. And Dewey said that the illiterates were too high. Not illiteracy rates, the literacy rates. He wanted us to be dumber, you know, a dumbed down population.
Down.
And that was instructive to get us back to a serf level. We'd gotten too many freedoms, the average people, and they wanted to roll that back by making us, you know, kind of less literate. I mean, you can see that in the book. John Taylor Gatto writes wonderful books on the subject, and so does Charlotte Iserby with The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. And so that's part and parcel. I mean, they've been doing this for 100 years because they were afraid of revolution. If you read, you know, books by like the British author Saki or William Dean Howells, like at the turn of the last century, they very explicitly, the ruling class was terrified of revolution, because you have to remember that at that time period, they were coming out of like the generation of 1848, where there was all these revolutions, monarchies fell, republics rose up in their place. So the oligarchical class was just terrified of average, and they still are. That's why this assault on Donald Trump and populism and, you know, populism's bad. Populism has to go. Cause they're just terrified, and their solution is kind of having a dumbed down populace. And then you reinterpret their documents so that, like, they can't even read them. They don't understand. Like, for instance, we see free speech and we're like, oh yeah, free speech. Yay. The younger generation sees free speech and they're like, free speech is hate speech. Or we see self-determination in local government. We're like, yeah, representative government, yay. And then the younger generation is like, you know, states' rights is racism, is slavery. You know, like you see them being inculcated with this new ideology to change the DNA of the society.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Sponsored by Idorsia Pharmaceuticals, U.S. Insomnia, or trouble falling asleep or staying asleep, impacts the nights and days of more than 25 million U.S. adults. People who struggle to sleep know firsthand the toll that insomnia can take over time. QVIVIC, daridorexant, 25 milligram and 50 milligram tablets, is a prescription medicine for adults with insomnia. Designed for once-nightly use, QVIVIC has been proven to help adults with insomnia fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. Olympic skier and QVIVIC 50 milligram user Lindsay Vaughn shares her experience.
There are certain things in life you have to take seriously, and insomnia is one of them. Deciding to take action and speak with my doctor about treatment for my insomnia was a turning point for me after dealing with trouble falling asleep and staying asleep for over 10 years. It used to be an almost nightly occurrence that I would wake up and have trouble getting back to sleep. Now that I'm taking once nightly QVIVIC, I'm getting more sleep. Honestly, I wish I'd found something that worked for me earlier, since my insomnia was causing me to miss out on so much. But I'm happy I spoke with my doctor and found a medication that works for me in QVIVIC. This is just my experience, so if you're experiencing sleep problems, ask your doctor if QVIVIC is right for you.
Don't take QVIVIC if you have narcolepsy. Don't drink alcohol while taking QVIVIC or drive or operate heavy machinery until you feel fully alert. QVIVIC may cause temporary inability to move, talk, or hallucinations while falling asleep or waking up. QVIVIC may cause sleepiness during the day. QVIVIC is a federally controlled substance because it can be abused or cause dependence. QVIVIC may lead to doing activities while not fully awake that you don't remember the next day, like walking, driving, or making or eating food. Tell your doctor right away if you experience this or worsening depression, including suicidal thoughts. Common side effects are headaches and sleepiness. Visit QVIVIC.com for more information. That's QUVIVIQ.com.
Dennis Patel is our guest, a business ethics teacher, news analyst, and commentator. And we're talking about here we find ourselves today in America, and how did we get here? It has been a slow, progressive process. But Daniel, I'll tell you, after everything is all said, I have a lot of hope in the American people. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, talking about this cumulative intelligence and this awakening that's happening. I mean, you've got a president that wants us to believe that his economic system is working. And clearly it's not, because mm-hmm. immediately after he makes a statement like that, we go and buy gas and go, $4 or $5 a gallon, ain't working at all. Or we go buy a half gallon of milk and we're going, wait a minute here. You know, and you've got, what, 60% of America living paycheck to paycheck. And there's mm-hmm. a lot of pain and suffering right now because of the policies of this president and this ruling party.
I'm trying to. I was just today, just before I was talking to you, I was talking to an investment banker. And he's a sustainability guy. He's a guy on the left, right? He's not a conservative, but even the guy on the left, sees what's happening. Like, for instance, he will admit that the carbon stuff, oh, going against carbon. He was like, yeah, carbon. What they're doing is monetizing it to make secondary markets and sell it with carbon. So he knows that it's all scamming for economics. But one of the things that we were talking about was they're synthetically making energy more expensive, right? Like they're shutting down refineries. They're getting rid of nuclear power plants. They made Germany get rid of 17 nuclear power plants. You know, they're kind of using the EPA to ban the harvesting of uranium and all these natural resources. Oil, like, for instance, Biden just recently didn't renew a bunch of energy exploration leases.
Exactly.
And so they're doing this on purpose to make energy far more expensive. Now, here's the thing. There's actually a way out, and I'm going to have a meeting on this. It's a little white pilling. I was reading a book called The Future of Supply Chain, and they were talking about supply chain 1.0 is mm-hmm. like, they gave an example would be like, you get a fruit cup at the supermarket, it's harvested in Honduras, then it gets shipped all the way to Indonesia, and then from Indonesia all the way back to California, from California distribution centers to, you know, all over the U.S. And you look at that one little fruit cup, all the energy and the cost that is, you know, kind of built into that. Now, there's something called supply chain 2.0 that's just emerging. Mm-hmm. And it's basically if you could use blockchain to do a peer-to-peer thing. So instead of a supermarket going all the way around the world like that, you make a contract with the farmer a mile down the road, right? And it makes sense. It's not as subject to the destabilization of the supply. Now, here's the thing that does. Those multinational corporations that kind of rule the planet, they want, because of the supply chain, they want to erase our borders. They want to, basically, they want all the laws harmonized in the world. They want all the tariffs gone. They want the borders erased because it helps the supply chain. It gets rid of friction. If we go to supply chain 2.0, where everything is localized, you're draining their power. It's like draining the swamp. You're draining their money. And so I want to have talks with him on like how we can use this to basically decentralize everything again, like what our constitution called for. We were a decentralized civilization. Like Aristotle says that in politics, he says that agrarian societies tend to, because they're decentralized, they tend to decentralize government. So they usually have republics. I want to go back to that, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, what a common sense idea, Daniel. I mean,
we'll see. So this might work in our favor that Biden's raising the energy costs. The more he raises those costs, the more he's making it more expensive to get that fruit cup. Right. So it's not going to behoove them to go get slave labor in Indonesia or China or something like that. It'll actually be cheaper because it's so expensive to do that old supply chain, to do supply chain 2.0. So I'm going to see if we can. Do like a pilot program, you know,
that'd be great, because, you know, you're exactly right. One way or another, this is going to happen, because we have that natural dynamic of the, you know, the mother of invention is necessity, right? I mean, it just comes boiling up to the top. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, hopefully in our lifetime, and not necessarily in the next generation, sooner or later, because people are in a lot of pain right now because of, you know, Bidenomics, that common sense can begin to reign, and people can get back to work truly, be happy, and be able to pay for their groceries and get out of this, you know, this credit card debt at $1 trillion plus, Daniel. This is indentured servitude. This is owing your soul to the company store kind of stuff.
It's funny you mention that, because I just was talking about this with essentially, like, up until now, I was talking to a friend, he's at the Central Bank of Canada, and he was mm-hmm. telling me there's this website called WTF Happened in 1972. And you go there and you see all these economic charts. And one of the economic charts showed that the more productive a worker was, the more they got paid. up until 1972. Then all of a sudden, the workers got four times more productive, but still kept getting paid the same rate. And so what happened to that extra money that they were generating? It went up to the shareholder class, right?
Exactly.
And that money, $50 trillion, an estimated $50 trillion, was siphoned away from the working class and basically got sucked out of the country. And here's the thing. Because of those supply chains, those multinational corporations, mm-hmm. it gets sucked out to them, right? And so if you do supply chain 2.0, you basically will get the money circulating in the community and not sucked out. But one of the things that I was talking about, so they basically – stop paying, like, we should have been getting raises and we stopped getting raises, right? They basically right. took the raises. And so what do? So this causes a liquidity crisis. $50 trillion is sucked out. So how do you keep doing transactions? So their solution was credit cards. So all of a sudden they started giving credit cards to normal people, 18-year-olds going to college. Oh, here's right. a credit card, you know, college debt. And it exploded, but now it's hurting the economy. So now they're looking for another patch, and their patch now is CBDCs and digital currencies, right? But all of this would be obviated if that $50 trillion was put back into the economy. You wouldn't have to do all these stupid patches if you paid people living wages, yeah. right? So we should actually be getting paid like four times more than what we're getting paid right now.
Right.
And, you know, hopefully.
Well, how does that money come back, Daniel? I mean, you know, do we got to run it through Ukraine and money launder them?
Exactly. Well, I mean, well, most of it was used to build out, just hitting a dead horse, beating a dead horse, to build out the global infrastructure. So you look at these memes, and they'll have a meme of like Hong Kong, and it'll be, this is Hong Kong 1990, and it just looks like sand flats. This is Hong Kong in 2023, and it looks like Manhattan. Well, where did all those buildings come from? Where did the ports come from? Where did the roads, the bridges? That came from the $50 trillion stolen from Americans that wow. went out to build those global supply chains, and all the jobs got sucked out of the United States. All the factories got sucked out under EPA, fake EPA regulations. There was a guy named Eduardo Porter who wrote a book called The Price of Everything. And he talks right. about in the 1970s, they used the EPA to ban sulfur dioxide. And that was their backdoor way of banning factories. And then they moved them over to East Asia. So we can reverse this. Like, right. imagine reversing that. And that's what I'm going to be working on. So I'm sorry.
That's awesome. That's excellent. Because I was reading a little bit about it earlier this week to see what had happened. And so, you know, the timing of this conversation couldn't be more perfect, because, you know, you look back and what happened, you know, the labor force started getting angry and going, wait, we're being taken advantage of here. Something's not right. So they may not have been able to put their finger on it and to realize that they lost, you know, $50 trillion?
$50 trillion, yeah.
$50 trillion with a T, as yep. in Tom, as yep. in terrible. Okay, okay, so we lose that.
Yeah.
Basically stolen from us, redistributed, and now it's for the World Economic Forum and these elites to control. Now, what comes to mind right away is, are they going to do the same thing in Maui?
Yeah, the 15-minute cities, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? I mean, because yeah. conveniently, Daniel, they met in January talking about these, you know, these new smart cities that they were going to do, and they had already targeted Lahaina as being, mm-hmm. you know, one of the cities that they wanted to take over there in Maui, Hawaii. 8 months later, I mean, this is like a 9/11 event, you know, where, mm-hmm. you know, you get people talking about planes crashing world towers, and then 8 months later, 9 months later, boom, they do. I don't know. I mean, it's enough to get you fitted for a tinfoil hat.
Yeah, I'm not even going to go into some of this stuff that, like, I, you know, circumstantially, but can't corroborate on my own, but no. seems very persuasive. Like, one of the things that I will mention that jumped out at me, there was a gentleman purporting to have documentation from FEMA workers who were in trouble for shooting fleeing residents, and that a bunch of the bodies had had bullets in their head.
Oh, I hope not.
So they had, like, kind of written them off in the media as dying of the fire, but they were actually, you know, that claims to have documentation, you know, but I mean, like, yeah, there's a lot of just chicanery going on. And like I said, it's about capturing global supply chains. It's about like Hawaii is kind of center of the Pacific, and that yeah. helps, you know, whoever has possession of it to have control, to have a nexus point between kind of like the markets in the West and the markets in the East, you know? So it makes sense for them to want to seize that, and they're seizing it from the United States, you know, possibly, yeah. you know, so I don't know, like there's gotta be some way for us to drain the power from these people, because they're basically erasing our country.
For nearly 10 years, Firehouse Subs guests have been asking for one thing. The return of the King's Hawaiian Pork and Slaw Sandwich. Ready for a return to flavor paradise? The beloved sandwich is back for a limited time, featuring a blend of sweet, savory, and tangy flavors with irresistible King's Hawaiian bread, slow-smoked pulled pork, melted pepper jack cheese, and slaw. Transport your taste buds to flavor paradise. It pairs perfectly with the new tropical cherry limeade with a pineapple flavor twist, available in original sparkling zero sugar and sparkling zero sugar. A portion of every purchase of the King's Hawaiian Pork and Slaw will go to Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation's Hawaii Disaster Relief Fund to support relief and recovery efforts in Hawaii. Since 2005, the foundation has awarded more than $77 million to first responders and public safety organizations across the country. To learn more, visit your local Firehouse Subs or visit www.firehousesubs.com. Sponsored by Firehouse Subs.
USA News Update. New information has come out from the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability. One day before the first hearing into the House's planned President Joseph Biden impeachment inquiry, Representative James Comer reported that President Biden's home in Wilmington, Delaware, was listed as the beneficiary address for two bank money wires, payments totaling $260,000 to his son Hunter from Chinese nationals. One of the Chinese nationals is reported as Jonathan Lee, who developed a business relationship with Hunter while Joe was vice president. The committee said both wires originated from Beijing and were delivered to the Biden home after Joe announced he was running for president. A raging fire, seemingly caused by fireworks at a wedding, engulfed a hall with guests in northern Iraq today. Authorities are reporting more than 100 people are confirmed dead and roughly 150 others injured. Lance Pry, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez.
Trust the people who, you know, swore on the Bible to, you know, look out for America's best interests, to defend us against all enemies, foreign and domestic. They sold us out, Daniel.
Yeah.
You know, here, all the manufacturing that was sold out. I mean, to such a degree that even Donald Trump, when he was president, said, well, wait a minute. If we go to war, we got to go, we got to go look, for the guy that we're at war with for our metal and our steel.
Yeah, that's insane.
How much sense does that make, right?
Well, I mean, that happened just to go back to the origins of our Constitution, right? So our Constitution was essentially done by the Federalists, the Federalist Party. And, you know, so starting with John Adams, like George Washington did not belong to a political party, but John Adams did,
right.
And John Quincy Adams and so forth. And so the Federalists were kind of the early proto-globalists, right? And they were pitted against Thomas Jefferson's kind of, he called it the Democratic Republicans was his party. And and they called it Republicans for short, by the way. But anyway, so you had the globalists versus the Republicans, and it was the international mercantile groups versus the farmers, the normal people, the MAGA people.
Yeah, right.
And so the Federalists were so in bed with the Bank of England that when the War of 1812 happened and they were burning down the White House, the Americans were like, come on, we've got to defend ourselves. And the Federalists in Senate refused to release funds to defend the United States because they said, oh, it might hurt our business interests with England. So we're just going to let them destroy our coach because personal bank account might get, and they got booted out of power. They, after the War of 1812, they were discredited. They were gone. But you look at them, they were the early Mitt Romneys. They were the early Rhino kind of, people who,
who, by the way, is not running for re-election. He says he's too old. So he's, I guess, setting the standard. He still sounds pretty sharp.
He's too corrupt.
He's certainly not a Republican. We know that. But, that's the problem right now that we have. You talk about ethics, Daniel, is that who are these elected officials? An R doesn't mean an R, much less a D anymore. It just seems that we have this movement for the uniparty that is compromising everything and just confusing us like crazy. They keep moving. It's like the pea in the shell game, it just keeps getting moved around, and it's no wonder the American people are just, fed up with it, but they need to get fed up with it to do something actionable. So that we don't continue to produce the same craziness, right?
Yeah, you're good. John Stuart Mill says that in Considerations on Representative Government in 1861, he said, no matter how good your administrative apparatus is, no matter how good your constitution, it is meaningless if you do not have the people willing to enforce it.
Exactly.
And then he says it's like a horse without a rider. So we sat back, we got lazy, and we just kind of just said, oh, someone else is going to defend it. And then all of a sudden, you get bad actors, bad faith actors going in, and it's going to be, we're going to come to a crisis. But the good news is we've been here before, like I said, back in the 1790s with the Federalists. I mean, the Federalists were there essentially from before the ink was dry on the Constitution. By the way, we have the Bill of Rights because of the Anti-Federalists, right? So there was the Federalists who wanted to put the document in, and they did decent work on it, actually. They have checks and balances and stuff. But almost immediately before the ink was dry, they were kind of removing the checks and balances. Like what it was supposed to be, what the setup was actually supposed to be, was that the states were the boss of the federal government, right? Like the states come together. The federal government was a creation of the states, not the other way around, right? So they were subordinate to the states. And there's an Arab expression, whoever has the silver, basically is the master. And so the people who had the money were the states. They were the funding mechanism for the federal government. Now, what happened was Alexander Hamilton, who was a Federalist and who was an agent from the Bank of England, he wanted to create the first national bank of the United States, the first version of the Federal Reserve in 1791. The Constitution did not give him any authority to do this. So what happens is once you have a central bank, basically he was trying to remake America to look like England, where you had a king and you had a central bank, the Bank of England. And so we had the president, and then he was like, Hamilton was like, let's have a central bank. And we'll, instead of the states funding us, we'll have the central bank fund us. Okay, now that changes the power dynamic. So now it's not the states funding who's the boss. Now it's the central bank funding, which means the bank is the boss. And so very early on, but here's the good news. They got rid of it in 1811. They got rid of that central bank, which caused the War of 1812. So they come in and attack us to try to reimpose it. But we've been here before in very many shocking ways, and we've prevailed. So I do think that there's real hope, the good news, too, is, like I said, just with regard to supply chains and stuff, these large systems tend to fall apart. There's something called the silo effect. Jillian Tett wrote a great book on that, where they just fall under their own weight, and they do stupid things like Biden. Oh, let's raise energy prices. Okay, keep doing it. Keep doing it.
Yeah.
We'll watch the global supply chains collapse. Exactly. Awesome. Keep going, Biden.
Yeah. Well, and that's the deal. And here we are, Daniel, in the midst of all this, I mean, what's bringing this, I think that's serving as a catalyst is the rank corruption that's running throughout the institutions of our government. The American people have lost faith across the board against all the three-letter agencies of our country, sadly.
Yeah, I mean, as they should have.
And you can't blame them. Yeah, exactly.
Harry Truman said a month after Kennedy was assassinated in a Time magazine article, he said he would have never authorized the creation of the CIA had he known it would become an American Gestapo. Those are his words.
Wow.
Those are not the words of a tin foil. That was the president of the United States, saying that in 1947 when he authorized them, he had no idea that. And that was kind of his implication. Like Tucker Carlson made the news some months back. Mm-hmm. Saying that, he had, information from somebody at the Library of Congress or something, or I can't remember where it was, but saying that, the CIA may have murdered our president.
Yeah,
and this gets back to what I was saying earlier at the very start of our interview. where, right after Kennedy's assassinated, Kennedy was, a president. He was put in by the people, right? So how do you create a society that is no longer for the people, but is for an oligarchical class? How do you change that? Because if you did murder the president, you would not want the people coming after you. So how do you stop this? So the CIA has something called a strategy of tensions, where they'll go into a country and they'll pit different groups against each other.
Exactly.
Sunni versus Shia, Shia versus Kurd. And so they did that in the United States with critical race theory, where they started in 64, months, just within months of Kennedy being assassinated, they start like kind of critical race theory as a way to, they fund Chicano studies, gay studies, the women's liberation movement with Gloria Steinem admitting she was
on the CIA. The war on poverty. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The war on poverty. Let's throw that in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. All of that was rich versus poor, black versus white, Jew versus Gentile, gay versus straight, et cetera, to create the strategy of, to create this chaos so that no one could go after them. You couldn't have a unified people to basically hold them to account. And they've been very successful. And so, like I said, it's very, like, when you look in the history, like Herbert Marcuse, who I mentioned before, who was at the Institute of Marxism, he worked for the OSS. For the Office of Strategic Services, which was the forerunner of the CIA. And when he was in Germany, there's Christopher Rufo is a good writer on the subject of critical race theory. And, he has a book called America's Cultural Revolution. And when Marcuse was in Germany, he got booed off the stage as they were calling him the CIA shill. And also his colleague, who was also in the Institute for Marxism, the Frankfurt School, Theodor Adorno, was writing in CIA front group magazines, Der Merhat was one of them. And he did something for the CCF, which was like the Committee for Cultural, funders. I can't remember what it was, but it was one of those George Soros style things.
Right, right, exactly.
CIA front. Yeah. So they were doing these things at the behest of probably, Alan Dulles. So like Kennedy comes in, Kennedy sees Alan Dulles do the Bay of Pigs, and he says, wait, what are you doing? I'm the president. And Alan Dulles is like, no, I'm going to be running things, boy. I'm like twice your age. I'm in charge. And he's like, no, I'm pretty sure I'm the president. I'm pretty sure I'm in charge. He fires him.
Look at the business card. Yeah, business card still says commander-in-chief. I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And so he fires Dulles, and then Kennedy mysteriously gets killed, and then Dulles is put in charge of the Warren Commission. And then Dulles is the one giving the point man in this, when you look at the history, was a guy named McGeorge Bundy. McGeorge Bundy was the national security advisor for both Kennedy and Johnson. And after that, he went to the Ford Foundation, and he ran the Ford Foundation. And after the Ford Foundation, he was a dean at Harvard. And so that's where critical race theory starts, with McGeorge Bundy as the point man for kind of like these forces funding, these funding mechanisms. And how do you use Harvard Law School to create this new conception of how you interpret the law, how you interpret the Constitution, so that freedom is bad and states' rights is about slavery and all these things to stigmatize freedom, to make you think that free. I mean, look at the Smithsonian Institute just recently. They had this chart of toxic whiteness or something. It was about white supremacy. And the things they were listing as evil white supremacy were things like punctuality, the nuclear family, scientific method, objectivity.
Mathematical equations,
like to stigmatize anything that would lead to a free, ethical person.
Exergen is the smart choice when selecting a thermometer. As children return to school, keeping them healthy is important. Got a fever? Stay home. To detect fever accurately at home, you need a fast, non-invasive, and clinically accurate thermometer. Exergen provides all of that and is backed by over 100 clinical studies. Accuracy matters. Be smart and safe. Measure temperature accurately with Exergen. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Here's a message just for the attorneys out there. So you passed a bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks like timekeeping, billing, and more, so you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield, and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that make
may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
I need help with my taxes. Where can I find free tax help?
If you make $54,000 a year or less, you can participate in the IRS Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, VITA, or the Tax Counseling for the Elderly, TCE, programs. IRS-certified volunteers provide free basic tax prep for low to moderate income taxpayers. The TCE program is specifically for taxpayers age 60 and older. Go to IRS.gov and enter free tax prep in the search box to find a VITA or TCE site near you.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Dan Natale is our guest, a business ethics teacher, news analyst, and commentator. We're talking generational damage that is being experienced here in America today for that very same thing that you're talking about, is that this purported lie that is all in collusion and it's become part of the cabal, whether it's the mainstream media, social media, corporate America, they're all in on this big lie.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's why at the root of it, it's a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Bible talks about that, right? I mean, the children of the lie, you know, people who are not committed to truth. They're not truth-based people. They're not people of the light. They're people of, like, the shadows and the darkness.
Right.
And that's, unfortunately, that's human nature. I mean, and we know that. Like, the founding father said that all government, you know, is evil. So, but it's a necessary evil because we need to pave roads. But we're going to limit it so far as possible. You know, we're going to have checks and balances and stuff. You know, unfortunately, they've done everything they could to get rid of those checks and balances.
Right.
But they knew that. They knew going forward that human nature, and it's not just, you know, any one group. It's not any one race. It's not any one gender. It's just humans.
Humanity.
All of us have that dark thing in us that if you were given – like, think of the CIA, right? They're like 007. They were given a license to kill and an infinite printing press. Yeah, and no checks and balances.
Right.
Yeah, that's really going to end in ethical behavior.
Right, and especially when you can be so blatant and say, well, we're born to lie. You know, that's what we do. We lie. So why do you expect? I mean, that's like that old song about the snake, right? The gal who goes and saves the injured snake, you know, brings him home and nurses him back to health and everything like that. And then upon his health, he's feeling good and he bites her. And she goes, what are you doing? I brought you to health and everything. And now you bite me. And he goes, well, you knew I was a snake.
It's funny you mentioned that. My friend Rebecca mentioned exactly that Aesop fable just yesterday to me. So you're like psychic. You're like picking up on like vibrations. But that is a great metaphor, is that, you know, human nature. Like I said, like I should be nowhere near power, because like, if, like somebody said that, like I think it was Lincoln, the test of power is not when like, or the test of someone's character is not when they're down and out. It's when you give them power. Right. And so like, my wife has always laughed at me. She said, like, if I ever won the lottery, I would be poor within like a couple weeks, because I'd be giving the money away. And she'd be like, stop acting like an idiot. You know, like I would abuse power like that. Like if I had like all this money, you know, at my disposal, an infinite printing press, I wouldn't be using it for bombs and planes. I would be, you know, using it to, you know, be abusive in another way. I would actually do stupid things and try to help people with the money. And that's not the smart way. The smart way is the hard way of you teach a man to fish.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like you. I'm the same way. And that's exactly what I was going to say, is I'd sit there and go hand out money. Oh, he's, you know, he's hurting. He's poor. Let me help him out. And then meanwhile, you disable him.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly. So I would Trump is like that. Trump knows what the right answer is. But I remember when they were talking about, okay, who's going to cut the, it was during the debates, and there was like 17 people on the stage, and they're like, you know, who's going to cut, like, you know, the health care? Everybody's hands went up except for Trump's. And mm-hmm. Trump said, no one's going to die on my watch. And he kind of reverted back to his kind of earlier Democrat like leanings. But he really, you know, for all the good things that were about Trump, he really, he didn't want to take down the system. He just wanted to control the system. And we need somebody who's going to take it down and get rid of it. And it's going to be hard, because, like, for instance, seniors, right? How could you cut things for seniors? But really, it is unethical. Like, it's unsustainable to, you know, expect like all these young kids who are a much smaller generation, like the Zoomers, to pay for this massive like boomer generation. So at some point there's going to be like a tipping point where you can't, like, it used to be 47 people for every one retiree when we started this. And now it's 3-1. And soon it will be 1-1, where you have like one person living off of the wages, and, you know, and you can't start a family with that. The civilization. So, but how can you look at grandma and say, oh, I'm, you know, not raising your, but, you know, so we're put in these situations that are, you know, right. I mean, these vulnerable.
And the thing is, you talk about ethics, Daniel. I mean, they are the ones in the mid 60s. Thank you very much, LBJ, that opened up the lockbox on Social Security.
Yeah.
And they robbed the bank, and they've gotten away with it. And, you know, I say even before they get another raise or anything like that, any attributable raise should be going in, not that it would make a big dent, but at least it would show some, you know, I don't know, maybe some spirit of compromise, that they would invest any raise that they would offer for themselves, it would go in to restore that account because they robbed it.
Yeah, exactly. Bill Clinton did that, right, to paper over the dot-com bust, like in 1999. He basically went in as well and, like, looted. But that's Social Security is a little different than welfare, because it was actually people's real wages that went into that. So it's not, you know, a handout, but it is now. And by the way, one of the things in the news recently is the Fed just posted losses. For the first time, the Federal Reserve has the last time that they posted a loss was in 1915. Right. Yeah. And I think it was like $58 billion that they're claiming that they've lost for the first time. And they said this is going to result in higher taxation on the populace, because the Fed isn't allowed to lose. Right. So if they do, like, you know, kind of reckless, stupid things, they don't have a feedback mechanism to kind of get their behavior back on track. They're just basically going to start taxing us more. And that's been their solution, rather than, you know, running like a, you know, like an ethical system with books that match and accounting that work. You know, it's just like, okay, we screwed up, we stole, nobody's going to get in trouble, and we're going to tax you.
You owe us some money. It's kind of like the unions, right? They've got these pension programs set up in such a way that it's a guaranteed annuity or return on investment, whatever they've made up. And if it falls short, then the taxpayers get to pay for it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I did a presentation, by the way, just really quickly on the pension funds and how it led to all these mergers. So everybody was talking about the mergers since like the 80s, 90s, 2000s, too big to fail. And that happened. There was a great book called Pension Heist. And it basically, you can't legally get at the pensions at those liquid assets unless there's one loophole. If you merge with another company, you can do a corporate restructuring and you can get at that money. So they looted all these people's savings, to paper over their losses, their declining productivity, rather than change course and do products that people want, like Bud Light, right? They're like, no, we're just going to keep doubling down on stupid, but we're just going to steal these people's money who, like, you know, and that's behind the too big to fail consolidations that have led to the current kind of corrupt systems.
Well, Daniel, we got about 4 minutes left, and thought I'd give you an opportunity to kind of summarize everything, especially where we are right now. And as you clearly stated, we've got some major household cleaning to do, and it's going to require you know, a special and unique type of leadership to come in and to you know, square the ship, so to speak.
Yeah, that's why, just in closing, I'm going to return to the thing about decentralization, right? So Aristotle says that decentralized societies, a society of farmers, becomes, you know, a republic. Like that was true of the Roman Empire. If you read Madden's book on empires of trust, they were farmers. 92% of the founding fathers, like 92% of America, were farmers when we founded. We were decentralized. If we can get back to a decentralized economic model, then we can probably get our republic back. We will get a government that kind of reflects the society that we're in. And you know, I think that's coming. There's a guy named Lord William Rees-Mogg. He said that. He wrote a book called The Sovereign Individual, where he said technologically is a decentralized factor, right? Like you don't have to go to a central location anymore. You can sell things on eBay from your bedroom, you know. So technology, I think blockchain, supply chain 2.0, I think if we can get there, I think that will be a backdoor method to basically save the republic. You know, we'll steal it out from under them. So that's my hope.
The sooner the better, Daniel, because I don't know. I mean, this is the thing, like you said. I mean, in some regards, you go, oh, thank you, Joe Biden. I mean, you really are.
You know, he's hurting the old system.
Yeah, exactly.
And after that old system collapses, if we do nothing, we're doomed. If we do nothing in the collapse, there's going to be so much pain and there's going to be, you know, kind of Great Depression 2.0. But if we have something, if we have a safety net, if we create this parallel system, and there's a lot of people, especially Christians, we're talking about creating a parallel society of doing business with people who don't hate you and want you dead. That may be wise. I don't know.
A novel concept. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Go figure.
Right. Or somebody that doesn't want to move you into a one world government and scound with all your property and all your wealth and, you know, because they know what to do better with your money than you do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We've got to get back to a society of Bill Martinez's. Those are my final words, Bill. And now what do you say?
Well, Daniel Natal, I cannot thank you enough. I always appreciate this time that we can spend together, and especially, you know, that we can share with our audience. You know, as I say to them regularly, don't just take our word for it. You know, hopefully what we've done is spurred you and motivated you to the point that you want to check it out further. Own your own knowledge. Don't just, you know, because so often, Daniel, you know, I ask people, you know, they'll make some kind of goofy statement and I'll say, who told you that? You know, I mean, because it's that absurd, and it's funny because then they kind of look at you like for just a moment with the deer in the headlights kind of look, because you know that it's unintellectual, or as my friend Jeff Allen would say, it's rather moronic in, you know, with some of these responses, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, like I said, but you will get true information, everybody, but from Bill Martinez. He is, you know, a fount of wisdom and ethics, and I vouch for him. So, everybody, you know, like, support Bill. This is how Bill will be our next president. That's my call here today. He's announcing. Bill, will you run for America 2.0 when we get the republic back?
Well, Daniel, you're too funny, but thank you again for, you know, coming on the show. We so appreciate you, and our thanks to Daniel Natal.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, Daniel. Take care.
Bye, sir.
For more information and to be a part of this incredible movement to return to God and to save our country, go to BillMartinezShow.com. May God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you and give you peace. Go and be blessed. Thank you so much for being with us. Take care.
Former CIA officer and survival expert Jason Hansen here. I teach people how to prepare for the unexpected. Right now, most Americans are not ready for the death of the U.S. dollar. You have money sitting in cash, and if you don't act soon, your financial future could be at risk. I have partnered with Advantage Gold, the number one rated precious metals company in America, to release my new digital dollar survival kit that's 100% free for everyone who calls today and claims your free survival kit. Simply call 800-900-8000 and give your email address, and I will have this new digital dollar survival kit sent to you immediately. Call 1-800-900-8000 now and claim your free kit, and also mention my name, Jason Hansen, and see how you could also qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Supplies are limited, so call right now before it's too late. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm